Could you turn with me to Luke 2? Yes, Luke 2 is the Christmas story, and I thought since we're this close, getting this close to Christmas, I would like to touch on that a bit today. And we are going to start at verse 8, chapter 2, verse 8. And just give me an amen when you're there. Thank you. And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good tidings of great joy that will be for all people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger." Suddenly, a great company of the heavenly host appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to men on whom his favor rests." When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said one to another, "Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about." So they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby who was lying in the manger. When they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what had been told them about this child. And all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said to them. But Mary treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things they had heard and seen, which were just as they had been told. You know, what is Christmas? There are some things that we accept in life by tradition. Now, tradition in my house when I was growing up, my father was one that he would go without food to make sure there were presents under the tree for his kids on Christmas morning. I have that deep love of buying gifts and presents at Christmas time. My kids will testify, I go a little nuts. Last Christmas, I'm not sure Wayne even saw all this, but the back of my truck, the back seat, was chock full. It took us a while to get them all in. But that's fun for me, but that's a tradition. Okay, that is not a thus saith the Lord, that is a thus saith Mary who likes to shop and get things for people. But there are a lot of people that follow a lot of different traditions. The happy Christmas season that we accept and we never question, we don't always question what it's really about. I can get caught up in the shopping. Don't know about any of the rest of you. Yep. See, I'm not the only other one. It is, some will say it's a time for happiness, for family fun. And others may say it's a time for Christmas carols and Christmas trees. I got to tell you a quick story about the Christmas tree tradition in our home when the kids were young. Wayne had no time for the tediousness of looking for a tree. He was working at the shop at the time. This is before he became a pastor. But he would come home, okay, we're going to go get the tree. Now, how many of you know where Newman's was, Singing Pines? Okay, a few older people with me. But anyway, it was just outside of town here, and he would pull up in his blue and white Chevy truck. I would have the kids ready to go, get in the truck. We would all, of course, back in the day, it's been here, don't tell the cops we did this. We all piled in the front of that truck, and we took off down the highway. I mean, on 14th Avenue. We jumped in. We flew down 14th. We got to the road. We took a right. We flew into the parking lot. He walked out. This one looks good. Threw it in the truck. I'm not sure you guys got out of the truck. Okay, it smells like pine. We drove back home. 15 minutes. And I kid you not, it took him 15 minutes. The next year I got a fake tree. I thought, that's just ridiculous. But that was one of our failing traditions. For children, traditions can be different. They see Christmas differently. They look for snow. They look for decorating the tree. They look for Christmas cookies and fudge and presents under the tree. And the best, time off of school. These are things that Christmas means to many of the kids. But it is all of these things. But it's much, much more. At the beginning of the season, there is a great need for each one of us to pause and reflect on the significance of the Christmas season. What is Christmas all about anyway? And I know most of you already know the answer to this, but bear with me. We're going to ask ourselves three questions about Christmas. Number one, what do unbelievers say about Christmas? Unbelieving historians would love nothing better than to erase the Bethlehem stable from their plan of world history. Teaching our pleasure-loving generation that nothing really began there, they would like to erase it. That's why in stores, you don't see much of the nativity anymore. We see Santa, we see elves, we see reindeer, we see snowflakes and snowballs and all the rest of it. But those self-same historians cannot satisfactorily explain the power of Jesus' life. Jesus was born in lowly circumstances. He lived among the low income, or he lived in the low income bracket. They didn't have money. He never attended a school of higher learning. He never ran for office, and he never distinguished himself on the field of combat. He was a transient lay preacher who never had a pulpit of his own or a church building. He had an uncanny knack of rubbing the leaders of the contemporary society in the wrong way. And he incurred their wrath. They hated him. He died after 3 short years of ministry, and it was from a result of a mock trial based on trumped up charges. He died the death of a common criminal on a cross between 2 thieves. And yet, the world has never been the same since that occasion in Bethlehem stable. Years ago, an artist drew a picture of a winter twilight. Picture this with me. The trees were heavily laden with snow. You can get that real easy, I mean, with what we just saw, so that's fresh in your mind. It was a dreary, dark house that he drew, lonely and desolate in the midst of the storm. It was actually a very sad and depressing picture. Then, with a quick stroke of yellow paint, he put a single light in one window. The effect was magical. The entire scene was transformed into a vision of comfort and cheer. How many pictures have you seen with one little light and it just warms it and illuminates it? The birth of Jesus Christ was just such a light in a dark world. And not just back then, but today still. The average unbelieving man, if stopped in his frantic search for a suitable last-minute gift for his wife, if he were asked the true meaning of Christmas, would more than likely say, "Bah, humbug." It would be an annoyance to them. Christmas had lost something when you get into that hectic craziness. It would be more like Scrooge. the chances are more likely that you would only, or he would only see the commercialization of the time. The lights, the Santas. And the true meaning of the Christmas story would not come forward. Now, historians would like to claim that it is nothing more than a figment of the imagination of biblical writers. That is what they would love us to believe, but we know differently. Let's talk about what the Bible says. The Bible, which each believer rightly accepts as the revealed word of God, speaks plainly about the true significance of Christmas. It tells us three different things. A, that Christmas is the expression of God's love. John 3:16 says, "For God so loved the world that he gave." God set the example of giving for us. He gave to people who did not have and who did not deserve his gift. And for people who did not have the ability to reciprocate, we can never give back to him what he gave us. Understand? That's one of the reasons why Christians desire to give gifts at Christmas time. That didn't come originally from Hallmark or from Macy's or Kohl's or any. That need to give to others came from God himself. B, Christmas is a celebration of what God did. He gave his only begotten Son to come down to earth to reveal that God is a God of love and not just a God of righteousness. There are people who say that Jesus is a historical figure, a good man, but not any more the Son of God than you or I. This only indicates that they have never had a personal experience with Jesus Christ. You know what his power has done in your life, so you're able to recognize Jesus as the Son of the living God. See, Christmas is God's purpose in redemption. That whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Christmas is the fulfillment of God's plan for the ages. To step in and intervene in this sinful world. Through Jesus' birth, God set into motion his plan for saving us, for saving sinful people who were totally unable to save themselves. Jesus was able to identify with human misery, causing himself to be tempted just like we are. The final phase of that plan ended at the cross of Calvary. The story of the stable is not the whole story. The story of the stable is just the beginning to end, and with the climax being the resurrection of Jesus Christ. You can't look at the stable without looking at the cross. And as believers, we need to keep in perspective. Yes, we see the baby, we see the nativity. These are wonderful Christmas things to look at. But what we are ultimately doing is looking beyond that to the cross and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. D, the hosts of heaven announced Christ's birth. These are all things, all these different points are talking about some of our traditions. This one, at the hosts of heaven announcing his birth, God's choir, his angels blessed the earth briefly with their visible and audible presence, singing the sweetest carols ever sung. That is why we sing Christmas carols. We are doing the same thing that the angels did We should be doing the same thing that the angels did. I know some old Christmas carols can be a little tedious. There's some that I'm like, ooh. I love Christmas carols, but you know, you know what I'm saying. There's some that you're just, well, okay. But we're doing what the angels did. We are worshiping God, and we are thanking him for his indescribable gift. He set up the example of singing about the birth of his son. Now, number three, what do you say? The most important issue is the last question I just asked. What do you say? What is at the heart of each of us? It's hard to look inward and be objective about our own lives. What do you say about the significance of what took place in Bethlehem over 2,000 years ago? Is Christmas a time of solemn review in your heart of what that baby in Bethlehem did for you? Or of how your faith has grown because of that baby in Bethlehem? Has he given you a new perspective of the meaning of life and your hope for eternity? Without that birth in that stable, we would not have a hope of eternity. I feel sorry for many acquaintances I have, many kids I went to, many old people I went to high school with. Sorry. They don't have a clue and they don't want to know. And at this time of year, when you focus so much on the birth of Jesus Christ and through to his resurrection, to know that there are people who are going to hell and they don't care and they don't want to know, they don't think it applies to them, they don't think there's anything about it that is even real, breaks my heart. In your life, has the truth of Christmas changed the way you live? Have you placed your faith in him to the extent that it has changed your life? If your idea of Christmas is Christmas trees, cookies, shopping, you're missing the best part. The most meaningful part, the everlasting part. In this time leading up to Christmas, I would implore all of you to remember the real reason for Christmas. Amen. And that was God coming down to earth to seek and to save those who are lost, us. Let's pray. Father God, as we reflect on what you've done, how you sent your son over 2,000 years ago, and not because you had to, but because you loved us and you wanted to save us, we ask that, Father, if there is anyone here today who does not know you, that you will touch their heart, that they will come to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. Father, we thank you for the celebration of Christmas, not for the presents, not for the trees, not for Santa, not for the toys, not for any of it, other than the fact that you, in your infinite love and infinite wisdom, came down here to us, to save us. We thank you for the assurance of salvation, Father. We thank you that you are with us through this season and all others. And Lord, we just commit our hearts and our lives to you and pray that you would keep the stable, the cross, the empty tomb, in our minds and in our hearts during this season. In Jesus' name, amen.